Praise God. Let's get into the word of the Lord here this morning and see what God will do today. Psalm chapter 91. And we want to read verse 1 and 2. And this really is a psalm that we sing once in a while. And it's a beautiful, beautiful scripture. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Amen. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Amen. I want to just talk about under the shadow here this morning. Praise God, because there is something here that we need to understand and will help us in our walk with God and help you in your forward progress in letting the Lord change your life and make you into the image that He wants us to be. Praise God. Father, we thank You for the word of the Lord this morning. We thank You for victory today. We thank You for the touch of Your Spirit that we feel in this house. Anoint the word this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated this morning. Praise God. Good to be here today. Amen. When we look at travelers in the days of the scriptures, we can understand that those travelers did not have the modern ways of traveling that we have. They didn't have automobiles. They didn't have trains. They didn't have all of those things. They had to walk in many cases, and they had to travel on horseback in other cases, and others by camel or by similar means. The richer you were, you could probably get someone to put you on a chair and carry you. But otherwise, if you were a poor person, then you would have to walk wherever you went. And it would make the journey long, and it would make it very important that you planned out your journey ahead of time, and that you had provisions for the way. In our generation today, we can stop anywhere we want to along the road. There are many places to stop, and you can go in, and for, well, twice the price, you can go in and buy a cup of coffee, or you can get some sort of a snack to help you along the way, a bottle of water or something along that line. And you don't really have to prepare ahead of time too much. But in the days of the scripture, there was of necessity that they took along with them a canteen or a sack of water or something along that line, so that as they traveled, they would have something to drink. Otherwise, they would not make it. I remember reading the story of the pilgrims that, or the settlers rather, that came across, and there were those that crossed over the great desert in the western part of America, and they were tenderfeet, as they were called. They were people that didn't have experience in these matters, and they thought, well, it's not that far. We'll be able to cross it. We'll be able to get to our destination, and the things that we have are enough. And they say that that road that goes through the desert was at one point in time littered with wagons and littered with the bones of people that thought they could make it to the other side without having a place to stop and rest and having a place where they could get water and provisions and all of those things. And it was the wise that understood the journey ahead. It was the wise that understood that it could be a lot longer than what we planned. and it could be a lot more difficult than what we plan, and so we must plan ahead and take the time for refreshment and to know the path that we are going. The path was well known, and they knew that there were places that they could stop. They knew that maybe out in the desert there was a place where there was a seep. They used to call them a seep, and the water would seep out, and they would be able to get a handful and drink there. There were other places where the rocks have come up out of the ground, and in that time, those basaltic rocks would go up on one side and go up on the other, and they would make a pool in the middle. And even though the rains were very, very far apart in time and not very long, those tanks were there, and if there was rain, the tank would fill up. And because of the height of the rock on either side, there would be a shadow that would go over that, and it would cool the water, and it would not evaporate. And the travelers knew that there was a certain rock here, and it was so many miles. And they knew that there was another rock tank over here. And sometimes it was good, and sometimes it wasn't good. They knew that there were places along the way that they could stop and they could rest. And all of us today, all of us this morning are on a journey. Amen. We are planning to get somewhere in this road called life. And I want to ask you this morning, what are your plans? And where do you want to end up in this road of life? Amen. It's very important that we not just take it casually, but that we think ahead and we do some planning ahead. Someone has said that the baby boomers of our generation, that there is a very small percentage of them who have even planned for anything in their future. They just kind of figure, you know, it's going to work out. It'll be all right. We don't have to worry about anything. But that really isn't the way to go. I believe God gave us an understanding mind to know that there is a journey ahead of us, and we need to make some plans for the future. We need to make some plans for the future. Amen. It's not just what I can get right now in my life. And it's not just having enough to make it through this week or this month or something along that line. I think that we need to plan ahead, and we need to be wise and diligent with what God has given us. Somebody said amen. Amen. We're planning to get somewhere, and the question this morning is, how are we going to get to our destination? if we are wise, then I believe we're going to see the need for provision along the way, and we're going to see that there is a time that we must stop. And we must get under a shadow, and we must take the time to rest. Somebody was talking about stopping and resting, and I forget who it was, but they said that sharpening your axe, if you're chopping down trees, sharpening your axe is not a waste of time. There is of necessity that we stop. And God in His wisdom knew this, and He labored for 6 days and created everything, and on the seventh day He stopped His labor. The scripture calls it rest, and that is the exact same word as Sabbath. Amen. It is the exact same word of the seventh day that man should rest and stop. Amen. We're living in a very busy world today. We're living, even those who are not busy are seemingly busy with this, that, and the other. And one of the things that we need to consider this morning is to find a place along the way. Amen. And the travelers of old, they understood this because there were too many ahead of them that had perished in the way because they did not make any plans, because they did not think about the direction that they were going. I remember when I was young in high school, we had a family that lived in the town where I lived, where I went to school, and one of the young girls in the family was killed, and she was out in the country driving her car, and a rabbit ran across the road, and without thinking, she swerved her vehicle, and because of the sand and maybe the washboard on the road, she lost control of her vehicle and rolled the vehicle, and she was killed in the accident because of a rabbit. Amen. And what she needed to do, and this is not a criticism this morning, but and it does apply to you and I, what she needed to do was to think ahead. Amen. And to say, what am I going to do if something jumps out in front of me? What am I going to do if an animal runs out in front of my vehicle at a certain speed? And I'm thinking about this ahead of time. And I have done this as since that time. I made up my mind that I would consider things ahead of time so that when they came to pass, I would not be caught short. Amen. And I remember we were traveling I believe it was Route 95 in Pennsylvania, and we were coming through there at night, and there was this big raccoon. He was a big one, and he was crossing the road and got right in front of my vehicle, and I could have tried to swerve, but it was late at night. I couldn't see very well. I just held on to the steering wheel and just kept right on to going. He didn't know what hit him, and I felt bad in the sense that I had killed one of God's creation, but it would be a whole lot better than for me to lose my family than to for that situation to come to pass. It came to pass because I thought about it ahead of time. I'd stopped long enough to consider some things. And I think this morning what we need to do is to stop and we need to consider some things. Instead of just getting caught in a tunnel vision of the road. Amen. And all you can see is the sand and the maybe the curves in the road. But I'm staying on this road, and that's all I'm thinking about, and that's all I'm considering in my life. I think that we could get off track if we don't stop long enough to look at the big picture and stop long enough to rest, amen, long enough to consider things that are happening and developing as you travel, amen. I remember when I was in Israel, we were in the country of Jordan, and we were traveling down to the city of Petra, which is an ancient city, and as we were traveling there, it was about a 3 or 4 hour drive through the desert there in the country of Jordan, and I remember looking out the window of the bus, and way out in the desert, way out there, there was a camel train, and folks were passing through the desert on camelback, and I was really astounded that they still do that today. And they do. They still go that way through the desert in some parts of the world. Others travel by horseback. When we got to Petra, we went down the mile journey to the city, and I went down on horseback, and the young man that owned the horse led the horse. And when we were finished and we paid him for his services, he got on his horse and he rode away at a fast trot. Probably because he had more money than he'd had in a long time. Praise God. Very interesting for all of that. But it doesn't matter where you're at. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how sophisticated or how modern we become in our life. Folks, there's got to be a time that we stop to consider the journey that we're on. Amen. And time to get under the shadow of the Word of God and get under the shadow of the presence of God. Amen. And understand what it means to take the time to rest. Praise God. I'm not trying to stop your forward progress. Amen. We're moving forward and we're going forward. But there is a time of recuperation. Amen. You cannot go full throttle your whole life. Amen. You've got to stop. You've got to rest. You've got to take the time for things that are important in life. Amen. And waiting until your strength is renewed and to go on your journey. Amen. And this truth here is evident in our walk with God. Amen. The wise traveler is always going to make provision to stop and rest and to refresh himself or refresh herself and renew the energies, renew the spiritual energies that God wants us to have and even the physical energies. Amen. We're on a way here this morning, and I believe that we're all here because we want to go to heaven. We're all here because we want to be saved. We want to hear him say, well done. And that is a noble desire. Amen. And it is something that is wonderful. But just to say, I want to be a millionaire doesn't make you a millionaire. And just because you say, I want to do this or do that, that it's actually going to come to pass. Amen. There's a lot of water that's under the bridge, so to speak, from the starting point to the ending point. And I think that's why the scripture is so true when it says that the day of death is better than the day of your birth. Praise the Lord. We don't understand that as humans, but if we can examine that just a little bit, the day of death is better than the day of birth. Because at the day of death, we have come to the culmination. We have come to the end and to the victory. Praise the Lord. We have come to the place where we have made it to the journey's end. Well, praise God. I look at eternity, and it's really interesting when you begin to think about it. And I thought about it from the standpoint of the scriptures. I just kind of throw this out as we're moving along here this morning. But when you get to heaven, the Bible says that an angel is going to stand and declare that time shall be no more, and that there will be no need for light in the city, but the Lamb shall be the light. And they shall walk in his presence forever and forever. There will be no time. Amen. That's eternity with God. But I begin to think about eternity without God in hell, where the Bible says there will be torment day and night forever and ever. That almost seems like a contradiction of terms. Day and night forever and ever. So there will be time in hell. There will be day and night in hell, and it will be the masses of humanity that have rejected Jesus Christ that will spend eternity in hell trying to get somewhere and will never be able to get there. And on that road in hell, it will be torment. It will be suffering. It will be all of those things, and we will be able to mark time. Amen. And it will seem like an eternity, but it won't be an eternity. It will be time that will continue on forever and ever and ever. But when we get to heaven, praise God, we're going to get to the end of our journey. Amen. We're not going to be wandering in heaven, not knowing which way to go. Praise God. We're not going to get to heaven and say, well, I don't understand, because the Bible says we will understand. We will get to the end of the road of understanding. And this morning, if you don't understand why you're on this road, don't worry about it. Amen. Because the day will come when you will understand and you'll be able to see. Because God sees totally different than what we see. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. And you know, there are some that want to show how tough they are, and that they can make it on their own. And their bones are there on the side of the road. Amen. Their skull is laying there on the side of the road, being honed out by the wind and the sand and the sun and the heat. Amen. Of those that said, I can make it. I can just keep right on going and I can make it. Amen. But I'm telling you this morning, you've got to stop and eat, as the Lord spoke to the prophet. He said, because the journey is too great for you. Amen. This journey is too great for us to make it on our own. It's too great for us to get the idea that I don't need help. Amen. I'm telling you today, I need help and you need help. I need God. I need the church. I need preaching. I need prayer. Amen. I need the Word of God in my life. Amen. Because without it, I'm going to lose my direction. I'm going to lose it. I'll lose my direction. And we've got some scriptures here that we could look at that shows us that there's a place to rest on this journey. Psalm chapter 17. Turn with me here this morning. Psalm chapter 17. Praise the Lord. Isn't it good to be in God's house this morning? I feel good things here this morning. Psalm 17 and verse 8. Keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings from the wicked that oppress me, from my deadly enemies who compass me about. They are enclosed in their own fat. With their mouth they speak proudly. Amen. I'm telling you today, we're going to face some things. There's going to be some deadly enemies. Amen. There will be those that will compass you about, and they are sitting from a pedestal of fatness. Amen. They are sitting on a little throne of theirs of self-sufficiency, and we have achieved and we have arrived. But I'm here to tell you today, my friend, until you breathe your last breath, you have not arrived. You have not made it to the end of your journey until the last breath is breathed and the last word is spoken. Amen. We're still on the journey. And how do I make it with these things against me? If you've got things against you this morning, don't fret. You're not the only one. Amen. David had a lot that was against him. And he understood, help us today, Lord, to understand that I need God. Amen. I need God more than I need anything else in all of this life. And I want him to be my friend. Praise God. I want him to be my friend. I want to be as the apple of his eye. And then he said, hide me under the shadow of thy wings. Psalm 57 and verse 1. And this is a psalm of David when he fled from Saul in the cave. Amen. And there's some things that we have to run from sometimes. Sometimes you stand and fight, and sometimes you run. And it says, be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me. For my soul trusteth in thee, yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. Oh, when I read that, something just spoke to my heart. Amen. Because there are calamities There are things that happen. Physical sickness seemingly can come up in a day, in a moment of time, and there you are. You're faced with situations, and you had no idea it was coming against you. Calamities, amen, things that happen that you don't expect to happen. Praise God. But, you know, we can make it through. I remember it was last year, this last summer, we were at the lake and we were watching a storm come in. Don't go to the lake and watch a storm come in. That's wisdom this morning. Especially don't do it underneath a tree. And we pulled in underneath a tree and this microburst came through and it was really bad. And a limb about that big around, we were sitting in the car, and, oh, that's really cool. Oh, look at that. And life's just moving along really neat. We've got all these cool experiences right here in front of us and all of that. And I made the comment, and I said, I hope one of these limbs don't fall down off of this tree onto us. And it had no more been spoken until all of a sudden it sounded like a stick of dynamite went off. And the windows on the passenger side, both windows were broken out. The wind was so strong that it threw the glass through the car and cut us, and we were bleeding and all of that. And we were shouting. The wind was so loud. I'm coming. I'm going to get that branch off of the car. And we found ourselves in a very bad situation very quickly. And we got everything straightened out and said, we've got to go home. Our hair was filled with glass, broken glass, and the car was filled with broken glass. In a moment's time, calamity came to us. And what was really interesting about the whole thing, now that I'm looking back on it, amen, we got home. We managed to get home about 15 minutes later. And as it is in Kansas, the sun had come out and there was blue sky. We made it through the calamity. Praise God. And that's exactly how it is in life. It may seem like it's a whole lot longer than 15 minutes. Some of us could say, amen, I'd like my troubles to be gone in 15 minutes. But sometimes they last a whole lot longer than that. Sometimes they stretch on, and I can only imagine David's thinking here, where, you know, he made it past that situation where Saul went by the cave and went on his way, and yet he was still hunting his life. He still had those imaginations against David, and his plan was to kill him. His plan was to do away with him. I don't think any of us really understand the fear of somebody stalking you to kill you and somebody that has the authority and the power to do that. I don't think we understand that. I know it's very disturbing when somebody threatens your life. Had a man one time threaten me with a knife, and he was up close and personal, and it makes you feel kind of jittery on the inside. That's about the only way I could say it. And been there, and God saved me from that situation. Amen. And well, we won't go into all those situations, but none of us like life to turn that way. Amen. We want to go along and smell the roses, and we want to go along and have everything to go smoothly, but the Bible says trouble comes up out of the ground, and he that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. And so on the journey, we cannot expect the journey to be flawless. We cannot expect the journey to be without difficulty and trouble and lack and all of that. Amen. But we can, and we do have a place this morning where we can find a shadow. Praise God. We can find a shadow. Psalm 63:7, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. Amen. You have been my help. Well, The very word there means that David had trouble. And so he found that in the midst of trouble, there was a place of rejoicing. Amen. There was a place of joy knowing that I'm going to make it to the end of my journey. Amen. Knowing that there is a place that I can hide. There is a place of shelter. There's a place of shadow. Isaiah 32 verses 1 and 2. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. And a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place and as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. I think of that. If you ever go to Farmington, New Mexico, you go out west of the city there, you'll find a rock. It's called Ship Rock. And it's like a giant ship that's on its end, and it's standing up hundreds of feet in the air. It's just a gigantic rock, and it doesn't matter what time of day it is, it's casting a shadow somewhere. Praise God. And I think of that because everything else around that rock is desert. It is dry. There's no life. It seems like it's just out there in the desert. And that is my God this morning. That is this great Holy Ghost experience that we have today. Amen. In the middle of this wilderness, in the middle of a weary land, we have a place to stop and rest. Praise God. Jesus taught this in Mark chapter 4 and verse 30. And he said, whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God? Or what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and become greater than all herbs and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. And so the kingdom of God is like this. Amen. The kingdom of God is something that when we start out, it seems like such a very small thing. Praise God. Your walk with God seems like just a very small thing when you begin to start out with the Lord, and everybody else is more spiritual. Nobody else has any difficulties. Amen. It's like we've come into an angelic place in the kingdom of God. I know that's how I felt when I first came to God. I thought everybody in the church was spiritual, and I thought everybody in the church was holy, and everybody in the church had the right attitude about going to heaven and all of that. And I started out on the journey that way because somebody was telling me about it. Man, it's great to live for God. Man, it's wonderful to live for God. Come on and live for God with me. Friend of mine that I'd grown up with talked to me about the Lord, and the Lord talked to me and gave my life to God. Oh, I got excited about going to heaven. Well, that's been a number of years ago. That was 1974, and I gave my life to God. Well, the friend that bragged on living for God is not living for God today. He didn't plan for the future. He didn't plan for the journey. He didn't take provision with him. He did not consider that there might be a hypocrite in the church. He did not consider that there might be lukewarm people in the church. He did not consider that there may be offenses that happen. Did not consider that there would be difficulties along the way, and that there would be a time to stop and reassess. Amen. And look at it all over again. And as the Bible says, to be renewed in your mind. Praise God, to let your mind be renewed, to remember how it was when you first got the Holy Ghost and how it was when you first started with God. I'm telling you today, and I hope I don't have to tell you this, but going to heaven's just as exciting today as it was when I first started. I'm still excited about going to heaven. I'm still excited about doing a work for God. I'm not coming to church just to get something. Amen. Just to have the pastor say some words and go my way. No, I'm telling you, I want to go to heaven. Amen. But I'm not foolish enough to think that going to heaven is just going to be a tiptoe through the tulips. Praise God. It's not going to happen that way. Amen. Not going to tiptoe through the tulips with my little ukulele. Amen. You knew I was going there. Amen. Sing my little song and sing Kumbaya and everything's going to be all right. Sit around the campfire and tell stories. Amen. I'll tell you what. That's exactly what we do sometimes when we preach about stories in the Bible. Amen. And the best among us, boy, they can preach the stories. I remember my pastor's son, Nathan, his favorite story was David and Goliath. And he loved it when the pastor would talk about the sling and the stone and this gigantic man coming towards him. And he let loose and the Holy Ghost got a hold of that rock and it made its mark right there in his forehead and he dropped dead. Oh, everybody shouted and praised God and it gets real exciting. But I'll tell you what, the very best stories that we can preach about and talk about in the Word of God are not much more than campfire stories. Because you don't know what it's like to smell the hot breath of a 9-foot giant that says, I'm going to tear you limb to limb, and I'm going to feed your flesh to the fowls of the air. And when you look at his face, you know, there's some people, when you look in their face, you can tell they probably killed somebody already. And when they look at you and say, I'm going to kill you, you believe them. And you don't say, in the name of the Lord, and you run toward them. Most time we run the other way. Because that was a campfire story. Amen. That was about somebody else. But we get all excited and everything, and then we leave the church and we have a flat tire. And we get all distressed and worried and nervous and upset about all of those things. Well, come on, somebody. Praise the Lord. The journey is too great to not stop and consider what we're doing and where we're headed. Praise God. And he said, the kingdom of heaven is like this. It's the smallest of seeds. You plant it in your life. Don't despise the day of small things. Plant that seed. Amen. Just plant it. I found a seed in Wichita many years ago and opened up my car door and there was a seed right there. Praise God. Picked it up and brought it home and planted it. And it grew. And now it's a big mimosa tree and it's got such good shade. The only thing I didn't know when I planted that tree, you know, it's good to have shade. I enjoy having shade on a hot summer day. And this thing is big and round, and it gets these beautiful pink flowers all over it. Didn't cost me anything. It was just a seed that I found on the ground. Picked it up and planted it. And I've noticed in recent years, at a certain time of the year, I got flies all over the place. Don't plant a mimosa tree unless you want flies, because I found out the other day, down in Missouri, that those trees attract flies. I thought it was utopia. I thought I could just put a chair out there and I could sit there and enjoy the shade. But isn't it that way? Amen. The things that taste good aren't good for you, and the things that don't taste good, they tell you it's good for you and it costs twice as much as the good stuff. And so I just say, I'm just going to eat the good stuff. Praise the Lord. I'm going to, well, I better not go there. Praise God. We've got goals, but our goal is to go to heaven. Our goal is to go to heaven. Is it really worth that thing that you're hanging on to lose eternity? I'm telling you this morning, it's not worth it. Well, anyway, we was at a store the other yesterday at Cabela's, maybe the day before, I forget the days, and my wife said, look at this is so cool. And some of you need to get this. Praise God. I said Brother Charlie would love this. It's an assault gun. Yeah. Have you seen one of those? It's a bug assault. And you put salt in it, and you cock it, and when there's a fly in your house, you aim it at him, and you shoot him. It is so cool. I got my first fly yesterday. Man, it was awesome. And it'll work on grasshoppers and bugs, and when it comes time to get underneath that mimosa tree, you're going to see me sitting out underneath that mimosa tree with my camo gun with a little bit of salt extra. This one little pour of salt's 80 shots. And all you got to do is cock it. No batteries. No, you need to get one, Fred. It can be addicting. Amen. So I'm not going to just plant my little mimosa tree, amen, and go out there and be frustrated. Oh, forget it. I'm going in the house. No, I'm going to sit out there with my camo gun. Come on, buddy. And I'm going to have me a good time in the shade. Praise God. Well, praise the Lord, somebody. Amen. That's the way it is in living for God. You didn't know that, did you? That's the way it is in living for God. Amen. Don't just get the idea, I'm just going to park myself under the mimosa tree. And it ain't going to be any problems. Ain't going to be any troubles. Listen, when it's time for church, that's when you get a headache. When it's time for church, that's when you remember, oh, I needed to do this. Or all of a sudden, oh, got this pain in my stomach. Hey, I'm telling you this morning, friend, when it's time to read your Bible, oh, I'd love to, but I'm just so tired. You know what I found? I found one of those apps, Bible.is, and I pull it up, put my little headphones on, and I lay there and I listen to the word. Amen. And some of those voices are pretty cool. Amen. When they're talking, reading the King James Version of the Bible. And I can go to sleep listening to the word of God. I think there's something powerful in that. When you hear the word of God, there's something that's really good about that. Amen. I'm not going to just get a few of the doctrines of the church down and that's good enough, and I'll try to come when I can, and I'll pray when I can. Hey, listen, you're foolish because you're headed into a desert here. You're headed into a very toxic environment. The devil does not like the idea that you're here this morning. The enemy of your soul does not like the fact that you have set your goal as heaven. Amen. And you've got to be wise about it. And you've got to stop every now and then. Amen. And actually, the story in the book of Acts, chapter 27, they were getting ready to go on their journey, and they were headed out into the sea. The mariner, the one that knew how to steer the ship, knew what to do with the sails to make it work just perfect, knew the clouds and the weather and all of that. They looked and they said, when the soft wind was blowing, when the south wind was blowing softly, they said, oh, beautiful weather, nothing's wrong, let's set out on our journey. And you can read that story in the book of Acts. I don't have time this morning, but they got out there after a little while. Before they left, the preacher said, don't go. Don't do it. I perceive that there is going to be great hurt. Amen. And everybody discounted Paul. Everybody discounted the man of God. And they said, oh, all the signs point to go, go, go. It's green light. It's a green light in my life. And all I can see is the green light. Come on, push. Let's go. Let's make it happen. Let's go forward. when the man of God said, I perceive we're going to lose everybody, and we're going to lose the ship, we're going to lose everything. And they got out on the soft, smooth sea. Oh, we're on our way to the next destination. We're on our way, and it's going to be one of the best journeys we've ever been on. And all of a sudden, they felt the wind begin to blow a little bit harder, and they looked out over the sea. When they were out there far enough that it wasn't good to turn around and come back, they'd already gotten past the point of no return, and a great storm came up. It was literally a hurricane, and they named it Euroclydon. Euroclydon. There's going to be a Euroclydon that comes and shakes your ship. And all of a sudden it began to beat against the ship. And Paul, who was not always so finesse with his words, he said, I told you so. If you would have listened to me, it wouldn't have happened. Amen. And they had been fasting for several days. An angel of the Lord appeared to Paul and said, you're going to lose the ship. You're going to lose the cargo. You're going to lose everything, but you'll still be alive. You'll have to start all over again. But this is what's getting ready to happen. Oh, well, you know, those preachers, that's all they do is try to make you scared. Amen. And just discounted what he had to say. Oh, God, help us. It's the way of a fool that does not make provision for the journey ahead. Somebody said amen. Amen. They did make it alive, and they were spared their lives, but they did lose the ship. Amen. Let's look at something here, and I'm going to finish with this morning. Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 11. Here's the place of rest in your life. Isaiah 28 verse 11. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. And that word rest right there actually means Sabbath. And just a little bit of doctrine here this morning. Praise God. We've got a few minutes. Is this all right? The Sabbath, some people believe you got to worship on Saturday, which is the Sabbath day, the Jewish Sabbath day. The Jews to this day worship on Saturday. But the Bible tells us in the New Testament that we should not be judged by the Sabbaths and the new moons and all of that, which are a figure of things to come. The Sabbath is a figure of something that is to come. But notice that the Sabbath, obeying the Sabbath, is part of the Ten Commandments. And the Ten Commandments are the moral laws of God, amen, that still apply to us today. And so the importance of the Sabbath when in relationship to that rest. Isaiah said, with stammering lips and another tongue. What he was referring to was the day that you receive the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 2, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, verse 4, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. What God was literally giving them was spiritual rest. He was making a spiritual shadow for us. And we are very foolish this morning if we do not get under the shadow and rest in God. Oh, well, I can make it on my own. I can do it my own way. I'm tough. I can go forward. I'll figure it out. Oh, God, help us. I'm telling you this morning, the elements are too great for you, and the journey is too great for you. You have a lack of understanding, a lack of strength, a lack of direction, a sense of direction. What I need is God in my life. Well, praise the Lord. It's not enough, folks, you hear me say it all the time, but it's not enough just to come to church. Praise the Lord, we need God inside of us. We need the baptism of the Holy Ghost in our lives to refresh and to renew and to strengthen and to edify and to build up. Praise God. When was the last time you prayed until you spoke in tongues? Oh, well, I'm just too busy. That's my point this morning. Well, I thought it was just a one-time thing and it's salvation and then I just go on and live my life. No, I'm telling you, my friend, it's the seed. It's that mustard seed that is sown into your life and it is a seed of eternity and it is something that is to grow and begin to produce a great shadow in your life. Well, praise the Lord. Somebody said, praise God. Thank God for the Holy Ghost this morning. Thank God for an experience that we can have. Amen. And the Bible says here about the water in the wilderness. Psalm 78 and 14. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm awake. All right. Praise God. Psalm 78 and 14. In the daytime also he led them with a cloud, and all the night with a light of fire. He clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink as out of the great depths. He brought streams out of the rock and caused water to run down like rivers. 1 Corinthians 10 and 4, and they all did drink that spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Well, praise God. I can't make it in my own carnality. I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to make it if I continue in the old ways and I continue in the old attitudes and I continue in the old spirit that I had before I came to God. Amen. Salvation is not a little addition. Amen. It's like the kids that play with the Legos. How many of y'all have Legos at the house? They say if you're going to have children, the first thing you need to do is go buy some Legos and spread them all over the floor and then go step on them with a bare foot. Because that's what's going to happen. Amen. And just get used to it. Toughen up a little bit because that's what's going to happen. And these kids, they get the Legos and they put one piece together and then put another piece, and before you know it, they got a car or something. Brother Fred and Jordan used to have the little skateboards, little bitty skateboards, and they could make them flip, and they were imagining that they were on that skateboard, and they'd take them apart and put them back together and all that. You know what? Sometimes in living life, hope y'all are listening here this morning. Sometimes in living life, we think it's like a Lego thing. And over here's my job, and over here's my family, and over here's my wife and my husband, my car, my finances, my retirement, and we put all of these little things together. And then, oh yeah, the church is one, and then God is one, and before you know it, it's just a little bitty part of a complicated life that we've put together. But it's not the will of God. It's the will of God that, I guess, in those Legos, you have to have a foundation before you can build on top of it. And that's God. He's my foundation. He's the very foundation that I am building upon. And whatever changes on the top, the bottom is going to remain the same. Because that's my strength right there. I'm always going to go back to that. I'm not going to build up and then build over here somewhere, way over. It's going to come crashing down because it doesn't have a foundation. Amen. Is Jesus Christ the Lord of your life today? Is he really the Lord of your life? If he's not, we're going to see your bones along the way somewhere. We're going to say, oh, look, there's a skeleton over there. And the skeleton will be like it's reaching out for one more foot because they've seen a mirage in the heat. Oh, there's a lake up there. It's not very far away. And before you know it, those that were strong and resilient and had joy and were involved in all of that. They're laying there, and they're just bones on the side of the road. Don't end up being a casualty in your walk with God. Friend, you can make it to heaven. You can make it to heaven. And the way to make it to heaven, let's stand together this morning. The way that you can make it to heaven is to obey the greatest of commandments. Love God with all of your heart. Everybody said, my heart. With all of your strength. Everybody said, my strength. My strength. That means I'm getting up and I'm coming. I'm getting up and I'm praying. I'm getting up and I'm going to read my word. I'm going to get up and I'm going to hear preaching. I'm going to be faithful with all of my strength, with all of my mind. Everybody said, with my mind. Think about that one for a little bit. Think about what goes into your mind on a weekly basis. Oh, well, it doesn't really matter. God thinks it matters. Right. Wonder how many of us here this morning that are married, if once a week we thought about you. If you're a man, once a week you think about your wife. Oh, yeah, that's right. I need to shoot her a text. LVU. Oh, forgot the exclamation mark. You know what? After a while, you begin to think, what's really important to them? What's really important? I'll tell you what's important, amen, is to love Him with all of your mind, all of your strength, all of your heart, and all of your soul. Praise God. If you don't, you can't make it. Folks, we can't make it if we don't love God with all of those things. Let's pray together right now, can we? Somebody this morning, lift your voice to the Lord and just talk to Him. Maybe you just need a little bit of rest, a place to rest in the Holy Ghost, a place for victory in your heart, your life, so you can get back up from that experience and continue on the journey. For the journey is too great for us, and we need something higher, something stronger, something that's wiser to guide us through this weary land. Come on, let's lift our voices together this morning. Praise God. It's not the pastor's job to pray for you. It's my job. Amen. It's my responsibility. Help us this morning. Touch us this morning. Touch those this morning that are lukewarm. I pray, God, that you will set them on fire with this truth, with this understanding that we're on our way to heaven. This is the most exciting journey that we could ever be on in our whole life. Touch them this morning, Jesus. Those that are not depending on you at all, God, I pray that you'll open their understanding this morning to see that we need you more than anything in all of this world. In Jesus' name this morning. In Jesus' name. Can we give Him thanks together? Can we do that this morning? Praise God. We're going to sing a chorus, and this altar is open for you to come and pray. Amen. We have time this morning, and the Lord wants to refresh your spirit and refresh your heart. Amen. So that you can get back up and say, I'm going to make it. Amen.